reported to him.
Good enough.
And
you can't recall what?
I can't recall what, but I think it derived from something that happened on their way to jail to visit Philip or something like that.
It's very interesting about this, entry into the... Did you have cell system?
Yes, we had cell system. Mm-hmm. Of course, we didn't call them cells, we called them locals.
Mm-hmm. I want to take the warrior, but before that, I'm sort of general question about the base being largely urban proletarian or plantation proletarian and not peasantry. In your experience, did they ever consider going for peasant
No. In fact, the SSP, and I would say even the Communist Party in Ceylon, have been distinguished by their indifference to the problems of the peasantry in Ceylon. Even today, they are willing to understand of the real problems of the village in Ceylon.
Would it be correct to say that they were taken by surprise by Entirely.
In fact, this is where I reappraise my Trotskyism. My understanding of Trotskyism, and I believe that this is what we all share, was a kind of mechanical social relationship between the peasantry and the proletariat, in which when the proletariat was mature and ripe enough, and the general situation matured, the peasantry would hitch itself onto the proletariat and be led into a victorious revolution. Now I think that this is certainly not true in experience.
Wishful thinking?
Wishful thinking. That this is where the emphasis of Mao is worth appreciating.
Yes, that's why I asked that question. Yes. But sometime I picked up an idea that even fairly early on the LSSP had put forward four slogans like one was free pasture and things like that, which gives some indication of looking to the present.
Yes, but those were all election promises. More than anything else.
That was in 36 or 47?
In 36, in 47, even today I would say. If you return an LSSP government to power, we shall do these things. But that is entirely different from the approach to party building. In the case of the proletariat, the party attempts to build itself out of the proletariat on the basis of a certain approach to it. But the party does not attempt to build itself out of the peasantry.
So in other words, Bandaran was far wiser in working through the village committee?
I think so. Except that here again, I wonder whether it is possible to choose between the two. Because actually if one looks at the LSSP as the transmitter of a certain modernism, then it was very difficult for it to transmit any modernist ideas or influences by facing towards the peasantry. Because if you face towards the peasantry and look for its support, then you have got also to reflect its pressures and its aspirations. And the aspirations of the peasantry are backward, or at least are expressed in terms of the traditional. Now, there is a certain conflict of situation, which the LSSP solved, or attempted to solve, by confining itself within the context of strata that could be receptive to modernist appeals.
And I don't know whether you consider this, but looking back retrospectively, there's another dilemma, especially in those years when the Indian workers had the vote. The fact that a good percentage of your proletariat support was Indian, and the cultural demands of the peasantry were anti-Indian and anti-Tamil, and therefore to marry the two would have been quite difficult.
That's true, yes. There was that element. In fact, the SSP's first trade union support was at Hunupiti, I think, at the Velavasa Mill. The Velavasa Mill had a strong Malayali element at that time. And then we had the Padi temple, who later went to the CP, and they were also largely Malayali. Even in Hunupiti, I think, there was a strong Tamil labor element. And the harbor was the real unskilled elements in the harbor were South Indian. Now, the urban proletariat, therefore, that supported the LSSP initially came from perhaps the more Indian elements of the proletariat.
Regarding the peasant factor, there was a chap called Gunasekar who had this All Ceylon Peasants Congress, which I former, you were not here, a radical party in 1945. I don't know if you have heard of it, because it's mentioned in the LSSP history. And the LSSP, the leader, tried to ally with him and took charge of the All Ceylon Peasants Congress. And here again I see an indication of trying to gain some sort of support in the peasant sector.
Yes, I am not saying that the LSSP believed that it did not need the support of the peasantry. It did need the support of the peasantry and it realized it. But this was subordinate to the task of building the party on the foundation of the working class. So at best, it was a marginal factor in its politics.
And then I take your point about the party structure, infrastructure being proletariat.
Yes.
What about the plantation labor? Did you go for them in a big way?
Yes. But the cultural backwardness of the plantation workers did not permit their political organization, except on the basis of trade union groups, which were given some kind of elementary political indoctrination. So, we were able to get the plantation workers in times of strike battles. But once the strikes were over, they flowed away.
And did you have to combat defensive communalism?
Yes. But at that time, I think minority feeling found some kind of identification with the responses of the LSSP, the Tamil minority, the Indian worker minority, and so on, except the Muslims, perhaps, who played a different role.
But it has been said that when Nehru came over here, it was his advice to the workers them more firmly into the Indian Congress and away from the socialist union.
Well, I don't agree with that. That Nehru formed the Indian Congress is true.
He's the one who formed
it. When Nehru came here, I think it was in 1936, wasn't it? Or 1938. He had come here with instructions from the Congress Working Committee to form the Ceylon Indian Congress. But the LSSP had relations with the CSP and the Congress Socialist Party, and therefore with Nehru also. And when Nehru came here, they begged of him not to form the Ceylon Indian Congress, but to ask the Indian workers to join the LSSP. But Nehru had come with the mandate and he had to carry that out. And I think he believed that it was necessary to form the Ceylon Indian Congress. Now, while this is true, I don't accept the explanation that if Nehru had decided differently, the Indian workers would have come into the university.
No. Eventually they would have,
Formed a communal or minority organization there.
Yes, I take your point. But looking at it from Nehru's and the Congress Party's political policy, don't you think it's a betrayal of their socialist cause?
I think it is. But at the same time, it is a measure of practical politics. Because for the plantation workers to be effectively organized, they must throw up leaders from their cultural measure. People who are identified with their language and their religion and their cultural their traditional cultural background, or at least who come from that background.
So didn't you try to use Anthony Pillay for that?
But Anthony Pillay was a Jesuit. And moreover, he was a Christian.
Mm-hmm. And someone rather carefully mentioned that he was not capable enough to organize his work. When the sales into candy, he hasn't been effective. I don't know if it was.
Well, you see, I know the conditions in which Tony was in Kandy. See, he was given a house by the roadside. As you know, the only houses that you can find are by the roadside. The rest is all estate. So he had a house somewhere on the roadside, and he was more or less half underground. And he was expected to organize the plantation workers. Now, it's an impossible thing to do, because the plantation workers cannot be organized in that way. And I think it was a reflection of the immaturity of the LSSP at that time, that they hoped that by planting a Tamil-speaking person somewhere on the hillside, it was possible to organize the plantation workers.
And you can't go into the estate without being seen.
On the other hand, Tony he's in Madras, as you know, and he's one of India's leading trade unionists today. And well, I have worked with him in Madras, and I know his remarkable efficiency as a trade union organizer.
So it's really the impossible obstacle?
It was impossible obstacle.
I don't know if you know anything about bread journalism.
Well, I was in school at that time, and I was deeply moved by what I saw.
But it wasn't in a way a godsend to the LSSP.
Of course it was. I think it was. But the LSSP had this a sense of drama. And this is what I think brought it out as a significant political force in Ceylon. Mm-hmm. And that I still remember that Bracewell episode, because I was present at that Coalface meeting.
When he suddenly appeared.
Yes.
It is true that he said that in Ceylon the white hearts are black and the black hearts are white.
I can't remember that.
You were referring to minority support, and I was thinking that in 47 and perhaps in 36 too, when it came to election back, and even 52, and in general, does it mean that you tended to get the support of the repressed caste?
Well, in Jaffna, we have the support of the repressed caste, or we had the support of the repressed caste. Most of our leaders now, persons like Nagalingam, P. Nagalingam, he comes from the scheduled caste. Similarly, we had Loganathan's brother, what was his name, Dharmakul Singh. He was really the leader of this backward classes in Jaffna. And even today, Loganathan was telling me one day when I was talking to him about his brother.
He's
a bad man. People observe the anniversary of Dharmakula Singham's death among the backward classes. Mm. So I think it is true that the LSSP did evoke some response in the among the literate element, the educated element, among the backward classes. In Telipale, in Vietnam, we had always a considerable amount of support.
Looking at the Tamil Nadu, isn't it a striking feature that on the whole they tend to be very conservative in their politics, in the sense of right-left continuum. There are very few who were socialist minded Tamils among the sort of leadership groups.
Yes, I think that is true. But I would qualify it. Because I know that in our university group, there were quite a number of Tamils. And some of them were outstanding. Now, in the group before us, there were S.P. Amrathan, Kambaya, and people like that. Tony also, I think, came from that age group. Then in our group, there was Balasingham, there was Kanagaratnam.
What
Balasingham? He died very young. He was Karalasingham's brother. He was a really outstanding person. And I would say that proportionally considered, there is a fair representation of Tamil. But, and this is the important thing about it, this was essentially a sophisticated reaction to stimuli in our environment. It was not a mass reaction. It was in our cosmopolitan group. People generally, out of a certain sense of sophistication, identifying themselves with more universal values. And it did not matter whether you were single or Tamil in order to do so.
Whereas in the English area, looking back now,
yes,
this has spread to the masses too, hasn't it?
Yes, and the motivation in the case of the masses was different. It was not some intellectual sophistication that led them to Marxism or to the adoption of universal values and so on, but the struggle for the achievement of some immediate objective. And in the course of that struggle, coming under the influence of sophisticated leaders. Now, the Tamils had no great opportunity of going through this process because the Tamils belonged essentially to the career-seeking middle class. And the process of education provided enough of a ladder for social climbing.
And also the Tamil economy has been a sort of largely a peasant economy in the sense that definitely has the strangest impact of new arrivals.
At this point, the original spool was reversed. The interview is continued.
But don't think they were thrown on the defensive as a result of this competition with the 50-50 demand and then the rise of the Tamil Mahasabha.
Yes. I would even go a little further and say that this reflects the role of the submerged cultural linguistic factor in the politics of that time. Among the Sinhalese, precisely because they were in a majority, they had no need to think in linguistic cultural terms. It was possible for them to think in economic terms. But in the case of the Tamils, precisely because they were a minority, it was easier for them to find a group identification or a point of group identification in the linguistic cultural sector. And therefore, this received a greater emphasis in their political approach. So, in highly sophisticated politics in Colombo, which was largely within intellectual circles or among middle class groups and so on. There was a veneer of the cosmopolitan, but that was only a veneer. Really, the essence of the politics of most Tamils continued to be what you call defensive, the need to protect what they had as a minority linguistic cultural group.
Turning to this minority issue again, I mean, it's noticeable that in the constituencies of earlier, LSSP support has largely been in the southwest, of the western and southern provinces. And well, could be explained in terms of the fact that they have undergone greater social change and they're more literate. But also, when you look at NMs and basically and other constituencies of that time, haven't they received support of the lower caste against what the UNC, which was really predominantly going up?
There was that element in it. I remember that when at the time when I was identifying myself with the LSSP, one of my relations, a lawyer, criticized my idealization of the LSSP by saying that the LSSP was essential. A non-Goigama or an anti-Goigama grouping, whereas the politics, the dominant political leaders of that time reflected the interests of the Goigama community. I think it is true.
But then, NM and Philip are Goigama?
Yes. But this again, I think, is the peculiar compromise that even minority groups have to make in seeking to push themselves forward. They have to adopt leaders from the Vedanta community.
So I'm not being critical of this, but I presume as for tactical reasons, whenever the party chose candidates for an area or chose people to go into an area and do party work, in election time or otherwise, you had to take these caste factors into consideration.
Yes, of course. And they still do so. Though I think the recent decision to put Colvin into Aglavatta is a welcome break from this tactic.
Well, that is
it's primarily Goigama election.
Now who?
Anil. Is Goigama. But I think, you know, this is also an indication that among the Sinhalese today, caste is not an important factor.
No, it is
anymore.
I think there are some other examples in 65 where this is quite clear. No, I was thinking of the
earlier period. The depressed class or caste did rise to the support of the LSSP and the
Leslie and Vivian below.
It was just before the party was driven underground.
So, what is this incident, affair, shall I say, taken rather seriously by the party leaders in the sense that they were not against it on principle, but because it would affect two of the electorates?
Yes, Philip was opposed.
He was personally opposed.
He was personally opposed.
Then he is not rising above...
Absolutely, and this is Vivian's great criticism of it.
Who?
Vivian's criticism of Philip was that family was to him a bigger point of identification than party. Because, as you know, Vivian's family was opposed to this alliance with another caste. And Philip did his best to prevent the marriage.
I was wondering, I didn't think it's far-fetched, but well, this was the beginning of the 1945. In the sense that it paved the way, I mean, the speech may have been due to other reasons, but it paved the way.
I must confess, it never struck me that way. Certainly, Vivi was always in the camp opposed to Philip.
Now, take the 45 state. The bigger group was NM and Philip, wasn't it? And the bigger
Mark group.
Yes, yes. But I'm just looking at the leaders, so I don't know whether it is valid. But looking at the leaders, NM and Philip, and even Subhasinghe, were in one group as far as I know among the leaders. I don't know about the others. Other groups, Vivian, no doubt from Goigama, but Manitoulis,
yes.
Bernard and Colvin, Doric, who is no, not involved in such. Any other?
So they were the principal people. William Silva was also here. Okay.
Yeah,
Philip. Yes. No. Was it Philip?
No, he was...
He wasn't the BSP.
Yes, and what caste is he?
Karao.
Who, well, Edmund Samakul.
Edmund was, of course, with Colvin.
With Colvin. So he's an old lady, he's not.
But, of course, Edmund was with Philip in the factional fight in the... underground party.
Oh, I see. There's a special reason there.
Yes.
No, I was just wondering.
I guess it is a very interesting point. I must confess it never struck me that way. Yes? Let's take Germany. Because whatever the motivation, it must have been unconscious.
Yes.
The...
No, I was wondering if sort of, shall I say, set them on the path. But of course, there was a big, I mean, there was flux caused by the warriors which intervened as well.
Oh, there were so many factors.
And charisma you were talking about, and Philip.
Yes.
And his bug, does it, was it the type of bug which meant that he found it difficult to get on with other people? Or other people found it difficult?
Philip had to dominate. You couldn't have a collective leadership with Philip. You had to be the leader. But that was because he believed that he was right. And he had something to tell the others.
Now, when you found a detail in June 1940,
yes.
And then you had really two wings, the open wing,
yeah,
and the secret. Where was William Silva and Robert?
So Robert and William were in the open wing. But when the repression began to intensify, they were asked to withdraw. Because there was no point in just sacrificing him. And Robert particularly was valuable.
But withdraw being going to hiding or?
Yes, to go into, at least not to put in so much open work. But to appear only when it was absolutely necessary for them to.
But then, wouldn't it be obvious to the British they would still know at least a past leader and Robert being Philip's brother?
Yes.
They would rope them in anyway.
Yes, but then Robert went into hiding, actually. He went into hiding. And so did William.
And where was Balasingham?
Balasingham was in the university group, and therefore he had not been in open activity. But of course, he was well known as an elitist. And he used to speak at many society meetings and so on.
Reggie
Sennacker? Reggie Sennacker was one of the organizers of the underground.
Jack Kodalala?
Jack was an open worker, but Jack was not a very serious type.
You're not, not even now.
Not even now.
But hasn't he been useful for you saying you are
feudal. period was the real Marxist among those who matured from a purely traditional background. He knew English in the sense that he had been to an English school, but he belonged to a very poor family in Moratuwa. And he was a Buddhist. He had learned quite a lot, I think, in the Pirivengas. He had a mastery of the Sinhala language. And he had also a certain ability, in the sense that he could grasp a theoretical position and explain it and write about it. So he became one of the links between the mass types in the party and the westernized leadership. And one would say he was really the avenue which the westernized leadership found into the masses for their political transformation.
Were there any other?
Not of his caliber.
Kavir Pereira? What?
Kavir Pereira, he was a loyal, devout, and dependable type of worker, I think. But I don't know very much about him. Are you referring to Balam Pereira?
No, Lawrence
Pereira. Oh, Lawrence was not a... He was a westernized type. He was a medical student and he was a scholarship holder in the university college.
And what about the men you said,
Sandy
and Allen?
Well, Allen was a very loyal party type, but slightly colorless.
Were they brothers?
No, they were cousins. And they were related to Leslie. Quite a number of Leslie's relations also found their way into the party.
Why? What about cousins?
Not so many from cousins. Because his community is a little more difficult. It's more commercial minded.
They had already reached the...
Yes, absolutely.
William Silver was sort of... I would like to paint a picture of him.
William was he was a barrister at law. He had spent a long time in England and come away only because of the impending war. Shortly after the war, he broke out. But I think he was a very inhibited person. And he was inhibited to the point of being more or less paralyzed in action. He couldn't do it. He couldn't even look after himself.
Then he's a liability.
I think he was a liability in many ways, but he was an asset in that one he came from, one of the richest families in the Ambalavoda area. And by that fact, could command a lot of mass support.
He's one who became a minister.
Yes.
I thought he was not too bad,
at all. Apparently, he didn't do too badly as a minister. But I think that is in comparison with the other ministers. But also, you know, this type is, when it finds itself motivated by some powerful external impulse, it can temporarily overcome its inhibition.
What about
the
village?
Vinnie Jatilaka was one of the tragedies of our movement. He was the tragedy insofar as he himself was concerned. He did very well out of our movement. He was a stepbrother of Mrs. N.M. Pereira, Selina Pereira. Mm-hmm. And he was a typical example of the low country adventurer who turns into a land grabber in the upcountry area. He used NM and his connections with NM to enrich himself.
Yes, in fact, you can't seriously ask the question of many of the relatives, cities, or relatives, that they who have the party or the party who has them.
But that is naturally most parties, isn't it? Because you can't get people coming to a party disinterestedly.
What about the women in the party? Selina, for instance,
and Selina was one of the more outstanding women in the party. Certainly at the time when we went to India, she had matured to a greater degree than any other women. And she was very militant. She was a good speaker. She was very hardworking.
Unusual, these women who come to the whole party must be unusual, I think.
She was, I think, unusual.
And even Vivian and Kusuma, I suppose.
Kusuma was a very ordinary female woman, I think. And her impact on Philip has shown that.
What do you mean by that?
I think she has been a constraining or a constricting factor on Philip's development. And her ambitions and aspirations have been entirely self-centered. Vivi, I must say, has matured a lot. She has a tremendous fund of energy.
Is it true, by the way, that because her family is opposed to the affair, that they used to meet in secret and in disguise and...
Yes. But, they used to meet in disguise more when they were in the other room.
Then they were married, right?
Yes, then they were married. So that was a real romance.
In fact, how did they marry printing of the Samsamaya?
Samsamaja
and others in the warriors. I mean, it must have been quite risky. A printing, right? Yes,
it was very risky.
Where did
you have it? Well, we had a press in many places, you know. We had two presses at one time, I remember. And when one was more or less semi-open, and then when that was closed down or it was raided, we concentrated on the underground press. Well, I must say, it was very well organized. And Dorit deserves tremendous tribute for the way he handles that organization.
And they were never suspected, I mean, Dorit and Reggie?
No. Dorit perhaps was suspected, but he was very clever.
Didn't he have a thing to do again?
He was arrested in Calcutta. And then later in Bombay.
What do you mean, escaped?
No, he was arrested in Calcutta and released because there was no evidence. Then when he went to Bombay, he got a sabbatical or something and went to Bombay, apparently for study, but he was engaged in the underground work there. And then he was arrested by the Bombay police and brought back here.
What sort of man was Reddy?
When you say that, a very practical man. He was really an estate manager. He was managing Harold Pearson's estate. His practical common sense was remarkable. You could depend on him to execute a plan that had been worked out.
But he didn't drift away with therapy.
No. It shows that he had also a considerable
independence
and political seriousness in him. Therapy was an intellectual, tended to be arty and a playboy. Yes.
I think I don't think many people have concentrated on this underground period, but it must have been quite dramatic and romantic. At the same time, it's been quite a serious matter, I mean, not of life and death as such, but freedom and...
It was a very serious, it was grim, there was no doubt about it. And especially in the conditions in India, it was a tremendous struggle.
And how did they survive economically?
Well, in the case of Coleridge and Leslie and Philip, they were supported either by their personal sons or by their family.
How did they get the money from?
So there were no restrictions at that time. Mm-hmm. You didn't need passports. You could go to India and return without anybody knowing. And you could take money across. Mm-hmm. But in the case of Emil, he worked for his living.
Mm-hmm.
He first got a job as a salesman in Tharapur Malam bookshop in Bombay. He was getting 50 rupees a month. And he was there.
And you went to smallpox, wasn't it?
Yes, I got a pack of smallpox in Baroda.
And how did you finance it?
Oh my God, I had a terrible time.
You were working on the streets, but...
Yes, I was really dependent on whatever organization existed. So, in the conditions that existed, there are many times there was no organization, but one had to depend on some other organization.
This is very difficult. I'm going back to the initial period in 40 and the decision to oppose the war effort.
Yes.
Was there much thought given to that?
Well, I was not involved in that discussion. Mm-hmm. Except that I remember I was surprised one day. When we went to a study class which was held at Ames Place and which was taken by Colvin, I had never doubted that there was an alternative to the tactic of the popular front. And suddenly I found that Colvin launched an attack on the tactic of the popular front.
This is a drop in sanity?
Yes. So I was stunned. I just couldn't understand what was happening. And of course then Edmund and others had already been won over to this position. And gradually, through discussion with them and reading, we understood what was happening.
Mm-hmm. It is notable that the CP first took the name United Socialist Party. Is there any significance in the fact that they didn't take the name CP earlier?
I think they called themselves the United Socialist Party because they were pursuing the tactic of an alliance with the Ceylon National Congress. And they were hoping to function as some kind of group within the Ceylon National Congress rather than immediately set up an alternative organization.
Sir, did you take the decision to oppose the British partly because the Indian National Congress had also decided to take that part, rather than cooperate with the war effort to oppose it?
Well, I have always held the view that the attitudes of the LSSP were both influenced and facilitated by the Indian National Movement and particularly the Congress Socialist Party. If there had been no Congress Socialist Party, there would perhaps, have been no LSSP as we have known it in Ceylon. But the existence of a Congress Socialist Party, which called itself a Marxist organization, and functioned within the national movement against imperialism, while at the same time being critical of the Soviet Union and of the Communist Party, communicated to the Trotsky's leadership in Ceylon a certain feeling of not being isolated and of the possibility of the maturing of this idea. Had this not existed, they may have felt a little discouraged by their isolation.
And was there a sort of feeling of little brother looking towards big brother?
Yes, but of course, in a situation of militant struggle, that really does not assume the same significance that it does in, say, in a situation such as that of independent states. Mm-hmm. So one thing, I don't think the LSSP felt embarrassed by requisitioning any aid or assistance from the CSP. On the other hand, when Kamala Devi Chattopadhyay came here, they were glad they welcomed her, took her around. They sent delegations to the CSP conferences and to, even to the Indian National Congress sessions and so on. They were not embarrassed by it.
Because I'm still coming back to the point of opposing the British. Don't you think it was a tactical mistake?
Opposing the British? Mm-hmm. During the war?
Mm-hmm.
No. No.
In the sense that, A, you lost control of some unions, both in the Colombo and in the state, because you were proposed underground, largely so. And therefore you also believe you were not able to influence the negotiations for the 4-5, which was neutral. The steps were different.